Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Maths Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most practical and genuinely useful topics on the entire specification. Statistics. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, OCR, or any other board, statistics questions appear in every single paper, and they are absolutely winnable marks if you know what examiners are looking for. In the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover the big ideas, averages, spread, scatter graphs, cumulative frequency, and data presentation. And I'm going to give you the exact exam tips and common mistakes that separate the students who get full marks from those who drop them unnecessarily. We'll finish with a quick-fire quiz so you can test yourself before you close your eyes tonight. Let's get started. Section 1, Measures of Central Tendency, Mean, Median, and Mode. These three are the bread and butter of statistics, and examiners test them constantly. Let me give you the clearest way to think about each one. The mean is the fair share average. You add up all the values and divide by how many there are. Simple for a list of numbers, but watch out when the data is in a grouped frequency table. This is where so many candidates lose marks. You must use the midpoint of each class interval, not the class boundaries. So if a class is 10 to 20, you use 15. Multiply each midpoint by its frequency, add those products together, then divide by the total frequency. Show every step of that working. Examiner's award method marks even if your final answer is slightly off. The median is the middle value of an ordered list. If you have an odd number of values, it's straightforward. It's the middle one. If you have an even number, you take the mean of the two middle values. A really common mistake is forgetting to order the data first. Examiners see this every year. Order first, then find the middle. The mode is simply the most common value, the one that appears most often. A data set can have more than one mode or no mode at all if every value appears once. In a frequency table, the mode is the value with the highest frequency. Now, which average should you use? Examiners sometimes ask you to justify your choice. The mean uses all the data but is affected by outliers. The median is better when there are extreme values. The mode is best for categorical data like the most popular color. Section 2, Measures of Spread, Range, and Interquartile Range. The range is simply the largest value minus the smallest. It tells you how spread out the data is, but it's sensitive to outliers. One extreme value can make the range look misleadingly large. The interquartile range, or IQR, is much more reliable. It measures the spread of the middle 50% of the data. To find it, you need the lower quartile, that's Q1, and the upper quartile, Q3. The IQR equals Q3 minus Q1. A small IQR means the data is tightly clustered. A large IQR means it's more spread out. When you're reading from a cumulative frequency graph, the median is at half the total frequency. The lower quartile is at 1/4 of the total frequency, and the upper quartile is at 3/4. Draw your horizontal line across to the curve, then drop straight down to the x-axis. Use a ruler. Examiners can tell when you haven't. Section 3, Scatter Graphs and Correlation. Scatter graphs show the relationship between two variables. Each data point is plotted as a coordinate. Then you describe the correlation. Positive correlation means as one variable increases, the other increases too, like temperature and ice cream sales. Negative correlation means as one increases, the other decreases, like temperature and hot chocolate sales. No correlation means there's no clear pattern. The line of best fit should pass through the mean point of the data and have roughly equal numbers of points above and below it. Always draw it with a ruler. Here is the single most important thing I want you to remember about scatter graphs. Correlation does not mean causation. Just because two things are correlated does not mean one causes the other. Examiners specifically test this. If they ask you to comment on the relationship, say there is a positive correlation between X and Y. Do not say X causes Y unless the question specifically asks about causation and there's a scientific reason. Also, be very careful about extrapolation. That means predicting values outside the range of your data using the line of best fit. Examiners will penalize you if you extrapolate without acknowledging the risk. The trend may not continue beyond the data you have. Section 4, Data presentation, charts, histograms, and frequency tables. For pie charts, the key rule is that the angles must add up to 360 degrees. To find the angle for each category, divide the frequency by the total frequency, then multiply by 360. Always show your calculation. For histograms with unequal class widths, this is higher tier content, you plot frequency density on the y-axis, not frequency. Frequency density equals frequency divided by class width. The area of each bar represents the frequency, not the height. This catches out so many candidates. For bar charts and pictograms, make sure your axes are labeled with units, your bars are equal width, and there are gaps between bars for discrete data. Right, let's talk exam technique. These are the things that will save you marks on the day. Number one, always show you're working. In statistics calculations, method marks are available even if your final answer is wrong. A candidate who shows the formula, substitutes correctly, but makes an arithmetic error, can still earn 2 out of 3 marks. A candidate who just writes a wrong answer earns nothing. Number two, read the axes before you do anything else. Check the scale, check the units, check whether the y-axis starts at 0. Misreading a scale is one of the most common sources of lost marks in statistics questions. Number three, when constructing a pie chart, always verify your angles sum to 360. If they don't, you've made an error somewhere. Examiners check this. Number four, for grouped frequency tables, never use the class boundaries as your values for calculating the mean. Always use midpoints. Write the midpoint column in your working. It signals to the examiner exactly what you're doing. Number five, on cumulative frequency graphs, plot your points at the UP per class boundary, not the midpoint and not the lower boundary. This is a very common error. Number six, the command word matters enormously. If the question says, describe the correlation, you need to say both the type, positive, negative, or none, and the strength, strong or weak. One word is not enough for full marks. If it says explain, you need to use the word because and give a reason. Number seven, do not confuse the median position with the median value. For n values, the median is at position n plus 1 divided by 2. That gives you the position in the ordered list, not the value itself. Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask the question, pause, then give the answer. Cover your notes if you can. Question one, what do you plot on the y-axis of a histogram with unequal class widths? Frequency density, frequency divided by class width. Question two, what is the formula for the interquartile range? IQR equals upper quartile minus lower quartile, Q3 minus Q1. Question three, when calculating the mean from a grouped frequency table, what value do you use to represent each class? The midpoint of the class interval. Question four, true or false, a strong positive correlation between two variables proves that one causes the other. False, correlation does not imply causation. Question five, on a cumulative frequency graph, where do you plot the points? At the upper class boundary. Brilliant work for staying with me to the end. Let's recap the five things you absolutely must remember. One, mean uses midpoints from group tables. Median needs ordered data. Mode is most frequent. Two, IQR equals Q3 minus Q1. It measures the spread of the middle 50%. Three, correlation is not causation. Never say one variable causes another based on a scatter graph alone. Four, histograms with unequal class widths use frequency density on the y-axis. Five, always show you're working, label your axes, and use a ruler for lines of best fit. You've got this. Statistics is one of those topics where careful, methodical working wins marks every single time. Go back over those cumulative frequency graphs in grouped mean calculations. They come up in almost every paper. Good luck in your exam. You're more prepared than you think. See you next time.